And we're here with Lynn Thomas, who is running for county commissioner. He is currently a trustee, a township trustee, and it's been my pleasure. I talked him into staying another 15 minutes. We had a lady call in and ask who I was talking to. So this way, you'll get to learn a little bit more about him. And I missed one area that I did want to go over that I think is important for all politicians. What have you done throughout your life that has qualified you to run for commissioner? What is your background?
Well, it's quite extensive. I have served as a Marion County commissioner. I've been in private business. I was in private business for like 13 years before I ran for county commissioner. And I was a department head. And my first job was here in Marion, Ohio, with a company called the Robert Maxwell Company. They thought enough of me to transfer me to Chicago.
Oh, my favorite town, the Toddlin' Town.
Anyway, I went to the Toddlin' Town, worked for the Bell & Howell Company, which the Robert Maxwell Company was a division of Bell & Howell. So they put me in the accounts receivable office there, by the way, which I performed there for about 2.5 years. And then I was drafted into the military. I enlisted in the U.S. Army, or U.S. Navy.
Yeah, I see that.
And I was in Westpac for like 4 years, and then came out, and then I was, I came back to my job for a while, for about a year, and then in Chicago, and then I had an opportunity to come back to Marion, Ohio, where I grew up. I grew up in Prospect, Ohio.
Ah. And they're underwater now, I assume.
Oh, sure. Anyway, I then went to work for a company called General American Credits out of Columbus. And they developed a branch office here in Marion, which they sent me here to manage. And I served there for the balance for 13 years. I worked for that company. Then I ran for Marion County Commissioner and was elected.
First shot. Wow.
I ran against the incumbent. And I was full of energy. Little did I realize what I was getting into, because like normal in Marion County, in Marion County government, the government was somewhat complacent, very slow, mm-hmm. and backward, and they had all kinds of problems. But I did serve a period of 4 years, and we asked for help out of the state legislature. Didn't get it. So I decided to run for the state senate. I ran against Paul Pfeiffer, and he was a very popular fellow, and I lost. So at that point, I got out of government, and about a year later, I was appointed to serve on the Board of Elections. I served there for 4 years, and then after my term there, I decided to go into business. Well, I managed the credit bureau, too, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
I managed the credit bureau for 4 years, that time. And then I decided to go in business for myself. I went to work for a company called Lutheran Brotherhood, where I spent another 10 years, actually, in that field. Very successful. Served this like a 3-county area. And then I ran for county commissioner again. And I lost. I ran, at that time, it was Ken Freyer was my opponent. And he was a very popular businessman here. I lost. So then I went to work for I was talking to Joanne Casotas one day. She said she's going to run for county treasurer at that point in time. And I said, you don't want to run against Tom Chesky. Why don't you run for Marion County Auditor?
Mm-hmm.
And she ran for Marion County Auditor. She was elected, and I was on our committee to hire people, and we were looking for a chief deputy auditor. And then at that point in time, we decided, well, why not Lynn? So Lynn became the chief deputy auditor for like 3.5 years. Then we had a budget crunch in the county, as happens quite regularly. And instead of laying off employees, I volunteered to lay off.
Oh, okay.
And at that time, I left government, retired, and...
Well, I noticed that you have a financial degree. You have your degree in financial services from American College.
Yeah.
And you've spent most of your life in the financial industry,
right.
So you certainly would know the financial side of the county.
Well, let me say this. As far as financial for the county, that's the main thrust of the Marion County Commissioners.
It would have to be,
they've got to know the finances.
Yep.
But you need to meet with every department head and understand their budgets thoroughly. And I understand there's a lack there, and I want to make sure that happens,
mm-hmm.
because I want to know where every dollar is being spent.
Sure.
And I think you need to know where every dollar is being spent in order to look at the big picture.
Yeah, yeah, you would.
And I think my background and my knowledge of county government is going to lead me into being a very successful
We have a couple of things in common that have nothing to do with politics. You are past president of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Prospect.
That's true.
My dad was a minister of St. Paul's Methodist Church in South Bend, Indiana. And I graduated from a Lutheran college, Valparaiso University.
Wow.
So we have some things that we'll slip each other the grip, right?
We have a Lutheran background, but which doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter what denomination you are. The fact is, we're going to all end up in the same place.
That's right.
I always often wonder why there's so many different denominations when we're all going for the same. We want to go to the same location.
Yeah, you know, my listeners know that I'm agnostic, mm-hmm. and it came from being a minister's kid.
Sure, I understand.
Every single religion says their people are going to go to heaven. Well, why not every other religion, their people going to heaven?
Well, I would think. we're all going somewhere, hopefully the same place.
Yeah, and hopefully it's nice and cool.
Yeah.
Not cold, cool.
So we have to honor the Lord, you know, daily, and build that relationship up, because someday you want to join him.
I noticed you are the chairman of the Marion Township Board of Trustees.
Well,
what does that entail?
Well, you just run the meetings.
Okay.
But the point of it is, that's passed around from year to year.
Oh, okay.
Three trustees, and every year we're going to change chairmanship. So everyone has the opportunity to be the leader.
Who are the trustees now, other than yourself?
Your current trustees are Larry Ballinger and Karen McCleary.
Okay.
And myself.
Okay.
Marion Township trustees.
Okay.
Now, of course, it depends on where you live. There's 14 other townships out there, too.
Yeah,
and
that
they each have
raises
their, me. And they have a fiscal officer, and our fiscal officer is Sheila Perrin.
Okay, all
and
right.
She actually does most of the work on the township because she's handling the finances for the township.
Yeah, you got to move the nickels around so that they do everything.
We got to make sure everything's balanced.
Yep, and make sure the holes are filled.
Exactly, right. And nothing gets done without at least two of the three voting on it.
Oh, that's good.
Resolutions.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you were able to come back, because both of us have told friends that you were going to be on at 11:15,
right.
And we got you on way early. So we've gone over most of the stuff, but I'm glad you're able to stay an extra 15 minutes. Do you have other things that you would like to stress? Hey, if they want to get a sign from you, where can they? Oh, I know where one place they can get it. When I'm down at the
headquarters. 144 West Center Street.
Right, and I'll be down there on Saturday from noon till 2. There are other people that go down. I think just about every day now is covered at
every
some
day
time.
Around lunchtime.
Yeah. So, but if they need a sign, will you drop one off? Or?
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
And call me at 740-360-0609.
Give that again, because people never have the pencil ready.
740-360-0609.
Okay.
And my name is Lynn Thomas.
Right. LYNN.
Right.
And we have about 4 more minutes. And is there something else you would like to bring up? Oh, naturally, my phone is ringing, which means somebody is calling me that wants to sell me insurance.
Oh, probably.
Yeah, because it's from Cleveland, and I know no one in Cleveland. All right. Anything else that we can talk about that you think you can bring to the commissioner's office?
Well, I think we need to address that $9.3 million.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Reiterate that. Well, why do we have $9.3 million hiding?
This is delinquency that's been built up. Now, let's face it. Marion County has had some challenging times here of late.
Sure.
And people have fallen behind on their receivables.
The moratorium that came where you couldn't be thrown off your property, did that affect it in any way, or is this
well, that's
old
only a year of recent.
Yeah,
that's
right.
This year.
Yeah,
but that's been built. This has been built, 10 million in the past. It's down to 9.3 million now, and the point is, the procedures have to be changed to head this off before it gets to that point. And I'm not going to go into that in detail.
Yeah, that
right
would take
now,
another show.
Having been in receivables all my life, uh-huh. I understand what needs to be done, and we will get it done when I become commissioner.
How long has that been building up? Or does it just continue to build up?
They try to resolve it, and what they do, they reduce some amount and send it outside the state of Ohio, in fact,
to
recover it. It goes
collectors?
To Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
Collectors. It goes to Texas. And what do people in Texas know about Marion County?
And they probably only collect, 10%?
They don't collect that.
Oh, my.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
Yeah.
And I could tell them a few things. But anyway.
And you got to pay them part of it.
That's right. You're paying them for service.
Yeah.
And our money being paid out.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that need to be changed. And I intend to see the change.
Now, if somebody wants to go to a commissioner's meeting, are they open to the general public?
They meet every Thursday from 9 to 7 minutes later.
Is it in the county building? That was a terrible shot.
It's in the commissioner's conference room.
They're in the county building, yeah. Right on the first floor.
In fact, I was there today, and Dale Osborne, the jail administrator, was there.
Mm-hmm.
A county auditor was there, Joanne Casotas,
mm-hmm.
And four other people.
Okay.
So,
not many people
attend.
Not attending.
Many people show up.
Yeah.
And they're so quick, most people don't come out.
Yeah, why would you go for 7 minutes?
And no one explains anything to you. They just go on like everybody understands county government. No, that I intend to be transparent about things and educate people on what we're doing.
I'm quite
they
frankly,
need to know.
I knew nothing. I truly knew very little about county government until I started knowing that I was going to have
we
you on.
We need to
that.
Educate the people.
Yeah, we do.
On what we're doing.
Yeah.
And there's a $98 million budget that they administer.
Wow. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. There's 29 various different departments in county government. And let me assure you, I don't think the commissioners have ever spent the time to understand what's going on.
Now, do we have 65,000 people in our county? Is that about right?
Somewhere around that, 64,000.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Huh.
And it's decreasing because this county's not growing like our surrounding counties.
Right, yeah. You know? Delaware is
one
of the fastest growing counties in the world. We only have about 15 seconds left before this, but thanks a lot. Give your phone number one last time if they want to get a sign from you.
740-360-0609.
Excellent. We'll be back, or at least I'll be back in just a couple of seconds. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after selling a 500,000 autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Take care, Lynn. Lynn Thomas, running for county commissioner. He's off to the wild blue yonder and going to solve all the problems of the world. Have a good day, Lynn. All right. Thanks very much, everybody. Whoops, I'm scratching here. That's a problem with my pot. And no, that doesn't mean that type of pot. It's that's what they call this little slider switch that raises and lowers my my volume. Lynn Thomas, running for county commissioner. We are more than happy to have anybody who's running for office, Republican, Democrat, Independent, give us a holler and we'll schedule you in. I'd love to have anybody from either side of the aisle come in and talk about what your qualifications are, because the electorate needs to know about what your qualifications are. They need to know why you want to run for office. When I first ran for office, I was not very good. I didn't have that 30-second elevator speech. I knew why I was running for office, but I really couldn't reiterate it very, very well. But when I ran for state representative, I knew why I was running for office, and I told people why I was running for office. Obviously, I didn't tell enough people, or there aren't enough people in this district that feel comfortable with a Democratic state representative. The Democratic state person running for the office that I ran for is Tiffany Roberts, and I hope she does a lot better than I did. She isn't allowed to get out and walk and shake hands like I did. I did a lot of shaking hands down in the part of Dublin that is in that district. It's a little section, and it's so wonderful to go through that area. First of all, that area of Dublin in this particular in the 86th district is upper income. Not way upper income, but, it's upper middle. And the people are wonderful, and there are a lot of people in that area that are from other lands. A lot of Pakistanis, a lot of Indians, a lot of people from countries that we don't know much about. And, I find the diversity invigorating. And I know there are a lot of people that hate the idea of diversity, but that's one of the reasons why I ran, because I believed the country is going the right direction, becoming more and more diverse. One of the joys of my life was watching my son, who lives out in California, and I hope this fire stay away from him, but he lives out in California right now. He's a special ed teacher, and he also runs a vineyard and a tasting room. He makes wine. And one of the neatest things that I did while I was out there the last time is go watch him play basketball. Now, Andrew was an all-state basketball player. He was on the same all-state team with LeBron James. Can you believe that? Anyway, Andrew, of course, Andrew was on the third team and LeBron was on the first team. Andrew was a senior and LeBron was a freshman. But we had a good time telling everybody they were on the same team. But I went down and watched him play basketball. He's still a very good basketball player. But everybody on his team was from a different country, a different color, a different, even different language. One of the young men, I believe, spoke with his family, spoke either Japanese or Chinese, one of the Asian languages. And it was wonderful. I was so proud to be an American because of our diversity. And that's one of the things I really ran for. I want to see more diversity. I love the fact that we are finally waking up to the fact that women are darn good politicians. Not only that, I think I prefer a woman politician. I think they're smarter than the men. Now, don't tell anybody I said that, all right? It's just between you and me. All right. Well, in the last 15 minutes of this show, I'm going to read what is called the shortest inspirational speech that anybody has ever given. And it is short. It's only about a minute long. Maybe the way I read it, it'll be a little longer than a minute. But it was written by Brian Dyson, who is the former CEO of Coca-Cola. But I'm going to wait until the last 15 minutes to read it because it's so short. And maybe we can talk a little bit about it after we get there. But I didn't want to read it and have one of our breaks pop in the middle here. And then this afternoon at 12:15, we're going to have a swap shop. And don't forget, if you got any of those tchotchkes that you want to sell, make sure you, okay, I'm going to give you about a minute or two to go get your pencil and paper, and we'll have you write down the phone number. We have a phone caller right now. I love it. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello. You're on the air, caller, from Logan, Ohio. All right. Apparently, that person didn't want to talk to us. That's all right. We get occasionally. We only have one line that comes in here. So if there's a bad number that comes in, we get it. That's also the reason why if you call in and the phone line is busy, just call back. We're already talking to somebody on the air. And we had a lady call in today during our break, and she wanted to know who we were talking to. It was Lynn Thomas, running for county commissioner. And the nice thing is she knew to call in our break. Well, most of our my shows, this one is called On the Air, and it breaks on the hour for roughly 15 minutes. And if you want to call directly, talk to me, you know, ask a question, if you can call between the hour and 10 after the hour, we can talk for a second or two. Now, if I don't answer the phone, it's probably because I've gone down the hallway to the little boys' room, all right? We all have to do that sometimes, right? But anyway, today we will have Why would I call it Chop Shop? That's an illegal business to take cars apart that you've stolen. It's Swap Shop, and we'll have that on at 12:15, and you can call 740-383-9944. Of course, I'll give you that number when we get to Swap Shop. But also, you can call during our shows to that same number, 740-383-9944, and you'll get on the air. Just like that phone call from Logan, Ohio. I am absolutely certain that was a wrong number. All right. Anyway, where were we? Boy, I had that great show going last night while I was awake from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock planning what I was going to say to Lynn. And naturally, I forgot half of the stuff I was going to ask him. But we're going to try to get him on, as well as any other politicians that would like to come on and give their the reason to vote for him. We're pretty much the main outlet for news and current events in Marion County anymore, because the other radio stations in town do not do news or current events. They do music, and that's fine. I love music, but I don't happen to listen to those stations. I have my own little music deliverer system that gives me my favorite music. And isn't the internet wonderful? Now that sounds like a really old man. And I am. But when you stop and think about it, one of the problems that the United States has right now is our greed has kind of closed off the internet to some people. If you live in certain areas, you can't get broadband very well, if at all. And I think that's one of the issues that we should address a little more carefully, is the issue of broadband, especially in the rural areas. We struggle especially with this COVID-19 thing going on, we have kids that need to have broadband so that they can keep up with their schools, and they aren't able to get it, or it's spotty at best. And we live right in the city, and sometimes it gets spotty. So we need to work on that, and maybe take the greed out of that system a little bit. You know, that's kind of why we have utilities, is kind of to take some of the greed out of the system and make sure everybody is treated on an equal basis, or at least semi-equal basis. Now, we all know that's not going to happen completely, that's one of the things. That's why I believe in being a progressive. Now, a lot of people think progressive is a bad word. Now, like Lynn and I were saying, we're both fiscally conservative. That just means that we watch our nickels and dimes. Doesn't mean we won't spend them, though. If you have a good reason to spend money, that's what money is for. Spending money to buy legislators, or spending money to get your own way so you can make more money, I find is obnoxious, corrupt, and any other bad word I can think of. Oh, well. By the way, I'm Glenn Coble. Just in case you want to know who to Facebook right off. I'm Glenn Coble, and this show is called On the Air, and we're on both Wednesday and Thursday on the air from 10:15 till noon. Now on Wednesday I'm on with Scott Spear, and Scott Spears and I have heated discussions sometimes and funny discussions other times. Our heated discussions never grow into anger. Now, he said I was angry, I don't know, was it yesterday morning? And I was angry. I'm angry about ignorance. And there was a lot of ignorance being shown in our country. And so I was angry, but I wasn't angry at him. We get along great. And he's out doing his second job, I hope he's being safe. We all need to be safe. I know some people really think wearing a mask is an indication that you are a Republic or a Democrat, and that you are a progressive Democrat to boost. It has nothing to do with that. If you're my age, you should be wearing a mask. Well, first of all, you should be wearing a mask all the time, because it's not to save you, it's to save the person you're talking to. It also will help you a little bit. It helps the inflow as well as the outflow. There's no sense not to wear a mask. And it will help the country you live in, the country you're proud of, by cutting down the deaths that we have. I think I saw this morning we were up to 193,000 deaths from COVID-19. That's way too high. We've got to cut that down somehow or other. And I think I know how, but I'm not sure that our public is willing to do that. Now, I noticed that last week, I think, when they had that Sturgis motorcycle thing. They're talking about...
You know, Nan Britton, the mother of President Harding's only child, wrote the first tell-all book called The President's Daughter.
Yes, it is a very detailed book, should we say?
Wow, is it detailed? I've seen instruction manuals that were less detailed.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
I'm sorry about that. Sometimes I'm not watching the clock, and I let things go too long. Well, let's get out of what we were talking about and go to the last order of business, which I've been talking about. We are going to read the shortest inspirational speech ever given, and it was given by Brian Dyson, who is the former CEO of Coca-Cola. And I don't know that I agree with all of this speech, but I thought you might like to hear it. The reason why I do these speeches are so that I've done everything from the Lorax, which is by Dr. Seuss. I've done the Gettysburg Address. I've done a thing by Sojourn Truth, who was a female former slave who was also an not only was she an abolitionist, but she was also a women's rights lady way back. So I've done a lot of these for your education. If you don't learn anything from these things, that's fine. But it is your option to listen. And if you listen, I pretty much think you'll learn something. All right. All right. This is the speech by Brian Dyson. Imagine life as a game in which you are juggling some five balls in the air. You name them work, family, health, friends, and spirit. And you're keeping all of these in the air. You will soon understand that work is a rubber ball. If you drop it, it will bounce back. But the other four balls, family, health, friends, and spirit, are made of glass. If you drop one of these, they will be irrevocably scuffed, marked, nicked, damaged, or even shattered. They will never be the same. You must understand that and to strive for balance in your life. How? Don't undermine your worth by comparing yourself with others. It is because we are different that each of us is special. Don't set your goals by what other people deem important. Only you know what's best for you. Don't take for granted the things closest to your heart. Cling to them as you would to life, for without them, life is meaningless. Don't let your life slip through your fingers by living in the past or for the future. By living your life one day at a time, you live all the days of your life. Don't give up when you still have something to give. Nothing is really over until the moment you stop trying. Don't be afraid to admit that you are less than perfect. It is a fragile thread that binds us to each other. Don't be afraid to encounter risks. It is by taking chances that we learn how to be brave. Don't shut love out of your life by saying it's impossible to find time. The quickest way to receive love is to give. The fastest way to lose love is to hold it too tightly. And the best way to keep love is to give it wings. Don't run through life so fast that you forget not only where you've been, but also where you're going. Don't forget, a person's greatest emotional need is to feel appreciated. Don't be afraid to learn. Knowledge is weightless, a treasure you can always carry easily. And don't use time or words carelessly. Neither can be retrieved. Life is not a race, but a journey to be savored each step of the way. That's a speech that Brian Dyson, the former CEO of Coca-Cola, gave to his staff. Now, wouldn't you like to go to staff meetings that only lasted that long? I'm not sure. They probably had a lot of other things that went on, but that was the CEO's speech. A lot of things to think about in that. One of the things that I've always thought about is, let's see if I can find it here on the, oh, it's right at the end here. Don't use time or words carelessly. Neither can be retrieved. Life is not a race, but a journey to be savored each step of the way. That is one of the things that I kind of have learned in the last decade of my life. When I was younger, I could use words and I could use time as if it didn't, as if there were no end to the time. But it's right. You can't retrieve all that stuff. I miss the days when I had all three of my kids at home. I loved those days. But I was so busy working in intercollegiate athletics and traveling on the road with the different teams that I missed an awful lot of it. And I think you've got to... I did try to relish the time I had with them. We would go sledding in the winter, and we would go up to a cottage that my family owned in the summer, and we relished those times. But I never gave it enough because I just figured life goes on forever. Now that I'm 74, I know that there is a finite amount of time left in my life. And I have also realized that life isn't a race. Why do you want to race to the end of something that you're enjoying? Savor it. Let it go at its own pace. Now, I don't mean you should be lazy and sit on the couch and do nothing. And I don't think that's what Mr. Dyson is saying here. But savor things. Allow yourself to think through things. I have learned... because I have free time, because I'm retired, I have learned that if I, at nighttime, like this, like last night from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, I can savor an awful lot of things sitting there with my puppy on my couch, just thinking. My wife thinks I'm nuts, but that's what I do a lot of. I do a lot of thinking. Now, which leads to the other part, one of the other parts of this is don't be afraid to learn. I have often thought I ought to go back and finish up my master's degree. I started it. I have about 12 hours towards it. That's very little. I think it requires about 40-some hours. But I always kind of kicked myself that I didn't finish that degree, the master's degree. Let's see. Two of my children have master's degrees, and one of them, who teaches or who is works in the administration at Franklin University, had to get his master's degree. My daughter, I'm not sure she ever completed it, but she got a lot of hours on it, and she did it for the education purpose. And education unto itself is a pretty good reward. For going to school. Now, if you're like me, I hated school. I hated sitting at a desk listening to somebody talk. But I was pretty good if I did go and sit and listen. I had pretty good retention. It's the classes that I kind of blew off that I didn't do so well in. Like it says in this speech, knowledge is weightless. You can take it everywhere. You can go into a bar with knowledge. You can go into a church with knowledge. It's with you all the time. Now, there are those of us who tend to lose a little bit of our knowledge at times that we don't want to lose it, but it's always in there somewhere rattling around. I was going back. There were a couple other passages I thought maybe we could talk about. You're welcome, by the way, if you want to call in and give us any of your thoughts on this. 740-383-9944. That's the same number you'll call if you have some things you want to sell on Swap Shop in the next 45-minute segment. One of the things, don't set your goals by what other people deem important. And right now, a lot of people deem that having lots of money is important. And I personally believe that has corrupted the United States to a very large degree. The desire to have money as opposed to have honor. The desire to have money as opposed to being honest. The desire to have money as opposed to being loved by your family and friends. I personally would rather have any of those three things ahead of money. Now, and I know there'll be people that'll call me a sucker, which I've heard recently, because I don't go after the money. But I'll tell you what, my life is pretty full, and I'm pretty happy, and I'm happy with myself. And that's important. You need to be happy with yourself. So don't let other people tell you what your goal should be. Now, when you're a kid, my mom told me I should get my college degree. My mom told me what I should do when I grew up. I did get my degree. I didn't do what she expected me to be. She wanted me to be a minister like my father. It just wasn't in the cards, Mom. Sorry about that. Don't compare yourself to other people. Boy, that is something I've always felt, much to the chagrin of some people I talk with and stuff, I've always felt pretty confident that I didn't need to compare myself to other people. I know I'm different, and I really don't care how you are. As long as you're honest and fair and have empathy, I think you're a good person. If you don't have those things, which there are a lot of people that don't right now, I don't know why that's become that way, but there are a lot of people that have lost their empathy for others. There are a lot of people that have lost they're caring, they care more about a cute little puppy than they care about somebody dying from COVID-19. Now, I love little puppies too, but I also love my fellow man or fellow woman, as the case may be, and I think we should all care about, we should have the empathy for our brothers and sisters who are out there, especially now when we're having this virus that doesn't really care how much money you have. It doesn't really, well, I guess it does care. If you have lots of money, you can afford maybe the better ventilator, or but I don't want to be stuck in that situation. Do you? I doubt it. All right, well, we're going to be out of here in about a minute. And you are listening to WWGH 107.1. I'm Glenn Coble. This show is called On the Air, and we're going to switch over here in the next 60 seconds. We're going to switch over to Swap Shop. And Swap Shop, we take a lot of, we try to help sell the tchotchkes that you have in your basement. A lot of people, the stuff that was in their basement is now sitting by the curb, isn't it? my weather thing said we had 5.6 inches of rain. We were lucky. I got down in the basement early enough in the night to turn on our pump that takes the water out, so we only got up to the top of my ankles in the basement. I have friends that have 3 feet of water in their basement. I am so sad for that. A lot of friends drive down Center Street, especially out on the west side of town. There's lots of stuff sitting out on.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place.